are on the air. Hello and welcome. I'm clinically trained success and happiness psychologist Alex George Sobonoski, founder of FulfillingHappiness.com. And once again, thank you for joining me today on the Fulfilling Happiness Edge. In case this is your first time listening to the show, the primary focus of the Fulfilling Happiness Edge is to give you that extra advantage, that secret psychological edge that allows you to live your best professional and personal life and inspire others to do the very same. The secondary focus is fun. Now, I do take my coaching and training very seriously, and I will be giving you cutting-edge personal development techniques in this show and in every show. But we will also be sharing a few fun, silly, out-of-the-box experiences along the way. First of all, let me tell you about today's special guest interview. It will be with Richard Koch, who gave up life as a highly successful consultant at the age of 40 to become an entrepreneur. He has started new businesses such as Belgo, a restaurant chain in London, and Betfair, and has turned around nearly bankrupt companies such as Filofax and Plymouth Gin. For the last 15 years, he has also written a book each year, books about ideas that help people improve their happiness and results. His biggest hit remains the 80-20 principle, which has sold more than 750,000 copies and been translated into 31 languages. In my interview with Richard, you're going to discover key mindset elements required to start a new business, how he used university students to build his first extremely profitable business, the best way to niche a new business and reduce chances of failure, or for people who don't understand what niche is, the Americans say, what kind of people to hire, and why company culture is more important than staff intelligence, the most important characteristics to look for when partnering with others or hiring staff. After that, I'm going to give you my contribution. I like to theme the content of each show around my featured guest, so today I'm going to reveal my snap judgment accuracy review process. If you do not know what a snap judgment is, it basically relates to the idea that first impressions last. When you meet someone new, you instinctively and intuitively will judge them. Our unconscious mind will automatically seek to categorize this person in terms of qualities, personality, and potential relationship to you in the future. Snap judgments are actually quite accurate overall. What this process will do is assist you to review an event where you recently met someone to help you decide with more certainty what kind of person they are and what kind of relationship you may wish to have with them in the future. Knowing how to accurately judge people is a critical skill when it comes to hiring staff or forging business or social relationships. Also, at the end of today's show, I'm going to give you another incredible fantasy gift, and the self-development challenge of the week will be set. Now, to get the show started, each week my co-host and I usually examine a major news story or theme. So a major theme of today's show is about impressions. We're going to go through a really fun exercise in just a minute. Before we go through the exercise, of course, I need to introduce my co-pilot, a man I know and I've known from the very first time I met him that he was absolutely bursting with potential. The maestro himself, music teacher, composer, true friend and collaborator, James Love from MajorKeysToMusic.com. Welcome, James.
Thank you very much, Alex. I'm glad you felt that way, because as a result, I can be here with you today making this awesome show and all the many other awesome things that we make together.
Exactly. And that is, you never know who you're going to meet and what kind of relationship you could have with that person in the future. And that's really, really something that's amazing about that whole idea of how we go about this. So we're talking about impressions, and in the previous show I talked about positive propaganda, and I think it's fun to think about propaganda, because what propaganda does is it's about branding, and companies, propaganda is a type of branding, and branding from a sense of companies and individuals. And so many of these impressions that we make when we meet someone, they remain formative in terms of how our relationship will be with them over time. So I think before we actually go through this process, let's play a fun song from before.
until they own you. Proper propaganda. Will you decide now to live the life you really want to? Proper propaganda.
Oh, yeah, I enjoy that. I had to put that in there.
Yeah, was that like a little subliminal message from you towards the end of that jingle there?
It might have been. It might have been. You never know what I'm up to. So here's the idea. As I said, propaganda and impressions are kind of the same thing. It's just that propaganda is an impression you're trying to create like a company in terms of branding. It's a big one. And while impressions are more towards the individual. So I've got up with a really fun exercise James and I are going to do today. And James doesn't know what this exercise is. So I'm just going to explain it to him and we're going to go through it. And it's really simple. We want to make an impression on someone. So let's think about who are some key people or key companies. And I just want you to tell me in three words only what that company is to you. What's the impression you get? If I mention a person's name, what would you say about that person in three words? Or if I mention a company name, what would you say in three words? Now, when I say three words, I don't mean three words as in they are good. I mean three words as in three particular concepts. And I think this is a great exercise for actually people to listening to try about how they want to be perceived by others themselves or their brand or their organization or whatever it might be. So you ready for this, James?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Tiger Woods.
Golfer.
Yeah.
Lots of video games. There's quite a lot of Tiger Woods golfing video games.
Uh-huh.
Very famous as well, but number okay. one.
So you've got video games. Golfer number one.
Mm-hmm.
They're your three kind of words.
Yep.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Because we're talking about propaganda, and yet there's obviously scandal associated with Tiger. And I find that interesting that never came to you, because that came to me. So when I think of Tiger Woods, I think doghouse. I think talented, and I think wealthy.
Right.
Okay. Interesting. Let's go to another one. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnie,
Big Arnie.
Can that be one?
What's that? Big Arnie? Absolutely. Arnie. That's an impression.
Okay. Terminator.
Terminator.
Yeah. And buff.
Buff. I actually think intelligent, because he actually is a very intelligent man. Risk taker, if you think about the terms of how he left his country in Austria to follow bodybuilding and then to become... He's actually been very successful in many areas of life, which is quite incredible. And the third thing I think of is human. Because on the one hand, he's very successful. On the other hand, he too has made some errors in his personal life in recent years that has not been so great for him. Let's pick a female. J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling, oh, Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Prolific.
Uh-huh.
And intelligent.
Nice. I think J.K. Rowling, I think wizardry. I also think a mother. You know, I think that's a big part of her personality, that she's seen as a mother and that's important to her. And I think phenomenon. Because we all want to get out there and create something amazing. And some people, and we all have the, I believe we all can create something amazing. Some people can get a little bit lucky and actually be part of a phenomenon. And I think she was one of those people. I think another one of those examples was Michael Jackson. And there's a great story about Michael Jackson where, you know, the album Thriller was a phenomenon. And although he was very successful after Thriller, he never was able to accept in his mind that that was a phenomenon, that's not something he would ever be able to reach again. And I think that's interesting. You know, it happens in other stories like, you know, the story of Stallone and Rocky, and Rocky was a phenomenon. And, you know, he had a successful career after that, but really that was something that no one could ever have predicted for a movie that was cost less than $1 million to make.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Let's go to companies. Coca-Cola.
The real thing. You reminded me of that one recently. That's where that came from.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember that.
Caffeine.
Uh-huh.
And actually Olympics, which is strange sort of tie-up.
Okay. What do I think of when I think of Coca-Cola? Behemoth. unhealthy. And I think, global. Just from an advertising perspective, just immense influence. Whether that's positive or negative is debatable. Depends on what side of the coin, isn't it?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
yeah. Ford.
Ford. Model T, very first Ford.
Yeah.
Holden, obviously the big competitor in Australia.
Yep, that's General Motors globally.
Yep.
And Opel in Europe. And Vauxhall in England.
As well.
I can't believe I know this.
yeah. And Ford as well. I think it's a family car too. The Ford Falcon is quite a big family car here.
I think Mustang. I think of the man, Ford, and how brilliant he was in terms of automation. So I think of automation. And I think the final thing I think of when I think of Ford is Juul. It's very much in Australia, there's the big competition between Ford and Holden. And it's quite ingrained in our culture. It's something that's quite interesting. You have to be part of it to understand it. Google.
Ooh, mega. a very, very powerful tool, and also something that I guess has become part of daily life.
When I think of Google, I think innovative. I think too much power. I really do. I don't know if it's... There's something about an organization owning so much of an industry that it's a little bit scary. And I also think of needs met. The reason they became as big as they have is because they actually were smart enough to give people what they wanted originally and primarily, which was... We type in a keyword in a tool and we get information relevant to that keyword.
Yeah.
And everyone before that was quite horrible.
Yeah, it really was.
If you remember, you'd type in something and something completely irrelevant would come up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like to think back 10 years or more ago, like you might go to the library to find out some information and there they'd have the computer that you type in the subject that you were looking for books on. And like even those tools were not always effective.
They're still not.
And I mean to think of Google's a search engine. It's basically the same thing, and primarily that's what it is, a search engine. But the extent to how it can be used now, you just never would have predicted it all those years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have anyway.
I don't think anyone would have. And so this is a fun game, and I suggest people play this game. It's also important to think about this for yourself. How would you, when we're working on changing negative impressions or highlighting them as positives, think about it. What are the three words you'd like to be described by someone else? Or what are the three words inside yourself, the three characteristics, the three attributes that you want to project when you're meeting other people? If we're talking about making first impressions, well, let's actually craft them a little bit. Let's prime ourselves to be in the right state of mind and right state of expression in order to make the right impression. So that's something to really think about. It's a fun game. And think about it. How do you want to project yourself? What are the three words? If you have a company or a brand, how do you want people to describe that? And how would it just be in three words? Is it fun, engaging, exciting? Is it intelligent? Is it innovative? You get the idea. So have fun with this. This is a lot of fun. Did you enjoy this process, James?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
additional exercise that you just talked about then, I think is really, really beneficial.
Absolutely. And we had plenty more examples, but obviously we've got to move on with the show. So speaking about impressions and how important it is to make the right one, This is going to be an important theme in today's show. And in my interview with Richard Koch, which is coming up real soon, I'm also going to reveal my snap judgment accuracy review process, which is going to help you develop better perceptions of others and yourself. And leading into the interview for the rest of today's show, I want you to have this priming question in mind. What could I do to create a better first impression, and what do others have to do to impress me? I'm going to say that again. What could I do to create a better first impression, and what do others have to do to impress me? Now, if you're worried that you don't really know the answer to this just yet, obviously these answers are going to come to you more and more as we go through the content of today's show. If you're listening to a recording, pause it, write your answer down now, or even just write down now what you're thinking. And we're going to come back to this question again at the end. You're going to have even more ideas by the time we're done. So, as I said, it's time for the interview. Here it is. Hello and welcome. I'm Alex Cervenoski, founder of FulfillingHappiness.com. And today my guest is Richard Koch, who gave up life as a highly successful consultant at the age of 40 to become an entrepreneur. He has started new businesses such as Belgo, a restaurant chain in London, and Betfair, and has turned around nearly bankrupt companies such as Filofax and Plymouth Gin. He remains an investor in new ventures and has developed a template for changing the odds of success. He only invests in what he calls network stars, businesses that are leaders in fast growth network niches. For the last 15 years, he has also written a book each year, books about ideas that help people improve their happiness and results. His biggest hit remains The 80-20 Principle, which has sold more than 750,000 copies and has been translated into 31 languages. His latest book is called Superconnect. Time now to meet him. Welcome, Richard.
Hello, thanks very much. Thank you for a lovely introduction. Thank you, Alex.
You're more than welcome. Well, it's quite impressive, so I'm really glad to have you on board.
It's a pleasure to be with you and to everyone who's tuning in by whatever means. That's great.
Fantastic. So let's get straight down to business. The question I have for you is, what was the thought process behind the best life-changing decision you have ever made?
Well, I mean, I think the best decision that I ever made was to go into business on my own account as a strategy consultant. But I have to say that thinking is probably, dignifying it a little bit. I was working for about 8 years before I actually started my own or co-started my own firm. And during the whole of that time, there was just one thought which kept recurring to me, which is that it would be a lot more fun and it would be a lot more profitable if I was able to be one of the founders of one of these firms. I mean, this was a time when strategy consulting was quite new and businesses such as Bain & Company were growing at 40% a year. And it was just a very, very interesting business to be in. But it was even more interesting if you were the boss, as it were, if you were able to shape the company and decide who you'd hire and decide which clients you'd try and go for and which products and services you'd provide. So I actually, from the time that I started in strategy consulting, was pretty determined to be one of the founders of the company. But I didn't want to do it on my own, because I didn't actually enjoy the administrative side of things. I didn't actually want to be sort of the big cheese, running things and deciding who's going to get paid what and all that sort of stuff. So I wanted to go into business with probably one or two other partners. So I was always looking out for who might be suitable. And that opportunity came about in a very, very oblique way. One Saturday morning in 1983, I was talking on the phone to one of the people who worked for me as a manager at Bain & Company. I was then a newly promoted vice president of Bain & Company. And we were talking about this, that, and the other, and a piece of work which we were doing. And at the end of the conversation, he said to me, "Have you heard about Jim and Ian?" Now, Jim and Ian were colleagues of ours who were at the same level as me as vice presidents of Bain & Company. And they were a couple of people that I'd thought of in the back of my mind as prospective partners for a consulting business. But we'd never discussed it, and Bain & Company, they were very, very strict in many ways. That, you know, you wouldn't talk about something like that idly because you know, no one had ever left the company, no one had ever spun off from the company to start another business. And it was something that the big boss of Bain & Company, Bill Bain at the time, you know, would have encouraged. So, you know, there's almost a kind of Stalinist tinge to it. And anyway, this chap, Ian Fisher, said to me, "Have you heard about Jimmy?" I said, "No, I haven't." And it so happened that Ian was in Boston at the time. And he said, "Well, I can't tell you about it, but it's really, really bad." And, you know, he wouldn't say any more than that. And I thought, well, this is very strange. So I thought I would contact Jim and Ian. And I rang their homes. All three of us were living in London at the time. So I rang the homes. And the phone was busy, engaged. Basically, they wouldn't answer the phone. So then I thought, well, I'm going to have to go and try and find them. So I got on my bicycle. I lived in Bayswater near Hyde Park. And I cycled quite some distance out to Richmond, which was where, or Kew actually, which was where Ian Evans actually lived. And I found them together. And then they told me a remarkable story, which is that they'd gone to Boston to resign from Bain & Company to set up a consulting business. And they thought it was polite to go and tell Bill Bain why it was that they were going to do that. But he then kept them talking, and then eventually a federal marshal walked into the room and slapped an injunction on them, a lawsuit, which said, "No, you can't set up in business because we'll sue the hell out of you if you do that." And they traveled back overnight. They'd arrived back at Ian's house, and they were basically feeling extremely depressed. And, you know, wondering, should they go ahead? Should they not go ahead? So I said to them, "Look, this is great. You've got long faces, but I think this is a great idea. And we should do it. And if you're interested, I'd be very happy to be a partner of yours." And I think that sort of pulled them out of their depression. And, you know, they went away in a huddle, to a separate room and decided that, yes, in principle, they would want to do that. And it was a few months before we actually, in the end, did set up together. But that was the start of it. And it really did utterly change my professional life. You know, the best thing was actually being able to hire the people that you wanted. And I went and hired, I remember the second year that we'd been going just over a year. I went to Oxford and Cambridge and hired undergraduates, people who were about to graduate, and I hired 30 of the best people that I could find who struck me as high energy and also extremely intelligent and very nice people.
Wow, that's brilliant.
So I hired those people, and since then, you know, many of them have left Delico. They've become heads of corporations. One of them is the head of Permira, which is a big private equity firm, which he made very, very successful, and so on and so forth. And that network of people has really been the best thing in my life, both in terms of friendships and in terms of business subsequently. So all of the investment ideas which I've got from people who were part of that network. It was fabulous. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. But I guess my only point would be, you can make a decision, but the opportunity may come up, you know, sort of when you least expect it. And you've got to be looking for it. In the back of your mind, you've got to be thinking, you know, could this possibly be my big break?
Right. Okay. So there's just a couple of things I wanted to follow up on. One thing is, I really like the idea of finding, you know, the best people you can find, like kind of, and they're ready to be molded. They're ready to be learned, or ready to learn, should I say. And you sort of went into, was it Oxford, you said?
Yeah, Oxford and Cambridge.
So you went to Oxford and Cambridge and actually just did like a big sweep and tried to grab as many talented people as you could that are ready to learn and get out there.
Yeah, we had at the time about 13 people in the whole firm. So to make, you know, I actually did a little bit of a trick with my partners. I said, look, I'm going to make 30 offers. But, of course, you understand that at most only half of them will accept because we're in competition with McKinsey and BCG and Bain and other companies, you know. And who's heard of us? You know, we're a tiny diddly squat little company. And, you know, are they going to take the risk of joining, you know, joining us. And out of that 30 people, 28 of them accepted. And my partners looked at me and said, we can't employ 28 people. I said, yes, okay, let's do it. You know? And, of course, we found work for them to do. But the great thing is, yeah, to actually choose who you work with is fantastic. I mean, one of the things that I learned from the Boston Consulting Group was that they went after purely A people. There was nobody, no professional in the whole of Boston Consulting Group who wasn't truly remarkable in terms of intellect. And that was what they went after. And I wanted to do it not just for intellect, but for other things as well. But to actually be able to select the people that you work with and to get them to come and join you, particularly when they're very young, I think is one of the most wonderful things that you can do.
Right, so shaping their future, basically.
Yeah, and shaping the future of the firm by hiring people. You know, we also have this policy, we only hire the best. And, you know, after a time, of course, you know, one or two people would decide it wasn't for them, or we'd decide, you know, that although they were very intelligent, they didn't really fit into the culture of the firm or whatever. But, you know, by and large, nearly all of the people that I hired, you know, were there for several years and, you know, became very good friends.
Wonderful. Okay, well, we're almost out of time. Just very quickly, what would you advise for someone else who's kind of at that point now where they want to sort of take the big plunge into something important to themselves, like a business? What would you sort of advise just before we wrap up?
I think it's very important to choose the right business, frankly. I mean, I think it's a great thing to start a business, but as you know, most businesses fail. And I believe that the way to be successful is to take a variant of an existing successful business. So, you know, something that you've seen successful in another geography or something that's you know, quite close to what you do. You've got to be confident that there's going to be a market that's going to grow fast. And if you're confident of that, then you've got to also tweak whatever it is you're doing so that you're doing something that no one else does. And I guess that's it. You know, but think extremely carefully about the business, because, you know, there are probably a zillion different businesses that you could decide to enter. You've got to choose the right one.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you so much for your time, Richard.
It's a pleasure. Nice talking to you. And, yeah, good luck, everyone out there. Good luck. Thanks.
And for those who would like to find out more about Richard, they can visit the8020principle.com. That's the8020principle.com or superconnect.org.
All right. What a great interview. And before I talk about what I took away from it, James, your thoughts?
It was a great interview, actually, because I kind of had in mind the 80-20 principle, and we've spoken about that before. And I was expecting it to be about the 80-20 principle, but it was really interesting what he was saying, firstly, about hiring the best people. I think as someone starting a business, it would be a smart idea, for depending on the kind of business it is, to actually think about employing all those people to begin with, and then enabling those people to sort of grow on the job, to train those people on the job. I think for a lot of people starting a business, it starts very small, and you know, it's just them to start with, and then they think about hiring more people as the business grows. Mm. And his piece of advice at the end was obviously something to take away. It was interesting. I think what he was saying was you don't necessarily start straight away with something that's completely new. You sort of look at something that's already been successful, and you can sort of model the business that you want to be in through that, but then you also have to differentiate yourself from what's already out there.
Yes.
That's the next step after that.
Great stuff that you're thinking about. Let me just comment on that. It wasn't about the 80-20 principle, but it was, because this was before the 80-20 principle, but obviously hiring the best people is an 80-20 principle rule, right? So by hiring the best people you can, and they perform in the top 80% of people. So it actually is about the 80-20 principle in a kind of a secret way, if you like.
Yeah.
And that's really important because this obviously happened well before he wrote that book. And the other thing you said is about, it's kind of like the niche within the niche, or the niche within the niche, depending on where you're from. And yeah, Google was not the first search engine company, right? They came in, it already existed, and then they just made it better. Apple, they weren't the first people to create MP3 players. Once again, they saw something that was already there. There was a great market for it, and then they just made it better. And so that's, I think, what he's alluding to there. You don't want to reinvent the wheel. You just want to make an awesome wheel.
Yeah. And that's the phrase that came to mind. Yeah, not reinventing the wheel. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. You want to make ones with those spinny rims. We need those rims. All right. So today's show is focusing on how to attract the right people in your life and also how to project your best self. This very much relates to persuasion, which is one of the pillars of my Fulfilling Happiness Positivity Pillars model. And if you want to understand more about the positivity pillars, you can head over to fulfillinghappiness.com/posters. And there I've got some great posters, some great motivational posters about each pillar and how it works, and some great techniques connected to each poster as well. And you can print them out, you can stick them up on your wall or in a self-development folder, whatever you like, but some really good stuff there to check out for your own self-development. Now, because we're talking about impressions, obviously you have to create the right impression to be hired, whether it's as a friend or in a business context or whatever it might be. And we make snap judgments based on the people we meet initially. And so what I want to do is talk to you about my snap judgment accuracy review process. Now, at any point during this explanation that I give, of course, I want you to feel free to pause the show if you're able to, if you're listening to a recording, which I always suggest you do, and write your answers and really experience the process we go through. So here it is, 3 simple steps. And this is going to help you build your emotional intelligence and reflect on whether you had a positive or negative interaction, reflect on the type of interactions you have. So I want you to think back to an event, to an interaction you had or an event. So 1, review emotions. Tune into how you felt during the event. What were you feeling when with him or her? Did you feel more positive emotions like excited, energetic, comfortable, joyful, or more negative emotions like uncertain, bored, edgy, or disappointed? 2, review physicality. How frequent was eye contact? How close did you sit or stand in comparison to each other? How did it feel? Did one of you pull back or edge forward as the conversation progressed, as the interaction progressed? Was body language open or closed? And was there any physical contact? How did the conversation feel and sound? Did it seem respectful, fun, and flowing? Or was it stilted and awkward? 3, quality of contact. What was the quality of the physical contact? Was there a handshake? How did that feel? Was there touch on the shoulder or arm, if any other type of contact? Whether you were touched or not, did it feel right as an idea to spend more time with this person? Did they look you in the eyes when shaking your hand, or did they look away? Did they smile, or did their interaction seem more obligatory? Were they simply going through the motions, or did it feel genuine? Did the contact, if made in terms of physical contact, feel right in regards to firmness or gentleness? These are all critical questions that you can think about. Now, there's also an optional component. So this is an extra optional component to this idea when you go back and review this process. What could you have done differently to have enhanced the interaction? Could you have smiled more, spoke with more authority or less, listened more, engaged in more eye contact, changed your body language, touched more or less, and so on? From all these considerations, just like we spoke about before, choose 3 in particular and consciously aim to use them in your next important set of interactions. So three in particular, that might be to smile more, that might be to open your body language more, whatever it might be, any of those things will work. So now we're coming towards the end of today's show. And of course, we've got to get through some fun interactions and segments before we finish off. Let's begin with fantasy gifts. That was beautiful, James. That was beautiful.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome. As you know, I like to give away a lot of fantastic self-development gifts for supporters of the show. And you may know by now, I also want to play with the big boys and girls. I want to give away stuff the way Oprah Winfrey, Ellen DeGeneres, and even Dr. Phil gives away stuff. Except that there's one little problem. I don't have a budget or any corporate sponsors. But that is not going to stop me. I am not going to be limited by the constraints of the real world and admit to the fact that I am not an all-powerful media mogul. Instead, I will use my imagination and give you a fantasy gift far superior to anything Oprah, Ellen, Dr. Phil, or anyone else could ever dream of. So here is today's fantasy gift. Your life and your business success will be determined by the people around you. But how do you know if the people working for you are the best available? Sometimes it only takes one bad egg to destroy an entire business. Even with lengthy interview processes, psychometric tests, and even your own finely tuned gut instinct, you still never know if you're working and creating friendships with the right people. Until now. Introducing the Best People Magnet. The Best People Magnet zones in on and harnesses the natural magnetic field around people of excellence. People of excellence emit a slightly different magnetic field in comparison to mediocre people. Invisible to the naked eye, the Best People Magnet's highly attuned current will find and attract the right people. Simply turn on the magnet and watch how talented, generous, and well-adjusted people flock towards you as if induced into a trance. Once you have enough people, you can then use the magnet to point them in the direction of your choosing. Do you need an entirely new management team? Some extra consultants? A new chairman of the board? Simply point, shoot, and attract. Perhaps you need a date. You want to find a new doctor, lawyer, or real estate agent. The possibilities are endless. As an added bonus, we're going to add an additional repeller magnet. To guarantee a new lifestyle, you will also receive the people repeller. Imagine having the ability to ensure any unwanted person who does not meet your criteria will be unable to come within 10 feet of you. If unqualified people enter your zone, the magnetic pulse emitted from the magnet will instantly detain the person by removing all kinetic energy, leaving them paralyzed in place for as long as you like. You can literally create your own mini society with you as the beloved leader wherever you go. To attract the best people and free yourself from having to deal with the substandard people in all walks of life, order the Best People and Repeller Magnets today. And every fan of this show will be going home with their very own set of Best People and Repeller Magnets. Just look under your chair. It's right there. Congratulations. Attract the lifestyle you deserve. Okay, now you have your fantasy gift. Let's get into this week's real self-development experiment. And this is very much themed on all the things we've been doing today. And that is, I want you to choose something very important. But before I tell you what it is, hit it, maestro.
Challenge of the week.
I almost jumped the gun, didn't I, James?
Yeah, I thought that you'd forgotten all about that one.
Oh, no. I can't forget about Challenge of the Week.
You can't leave that out.
No. So here it is, the Challenge of the Week. I want you to choose three aspects of your behavior, in particular when interacting with others, and consciously choose to enhance them by implementing more of them in your interactions. It could be your stance, use of hands, eye engagement, tone of voice, and so on. So three aspects of your behavior when interacting with others, you're going to consciously work on enhancing them. Now, the other option you can also do in terms of this exercise is to work on doing less of something. So less fidgeting or less stuttering and so on. However, what is better than focusing on what you don't want is to focus on what you do want, as long as it's the opposite of what you don't want. So don't focus on less fidgeting. Train yourself to focus on more stillness. You don't want to have less stuttering, but more smoothness and melody in your voice and so on. So that's a really important tip there. If there's something you want to reduce, actually focus on it in terms of the positive sense of what you still want to enhance. Now, we're coming right towards the end of our show. And so obviously you can get in contact me with Twitter and Facebook. And so in order to get you really fired up about doing that, James,
I was going to say, there's no need for more melody in the voice with that one.
Oh, do you enjoy that?
It's just perfect.
That's perfect. The one I do okay in. The rest are ready for the rubbish tip, but that one's okay. Okay, so send me some feedback for the show if you like. You can contact me. You can write on the wall at facebook.com/fulfillinghappiness. You can email us at fulfillinghappiness.com/contact. And of course, when you go to the site, you're going to find all sorts of interesting stuff that's free and useful for you to do. If there is any links to anything that you may want to purchase, then I suggest you do just that. And in order to get you in the mood to purchase anything, Maestro,
You know, Alex, I love this part of the show. It's just like hit after hit after hit.
Yes, we are skyrocketing up the charts. Skyrocketing, very much so. Next time, our next show, we're going to be talking about a very special guest interview. It's going to be with Andrew Griffiths, Australia's number one best-selling business author, and especially focusing on small business. Number one best-selling business author with 11 hugely successful books sold in 50 countries all over the world. His latest book, The Me Myth, is his first personal growth book and has won acclaim as one of the most inspirational self-improvement books ever written by an Australian author. Now, to listen to previous shows, get all the information you need, download shows, get tips, etc., head over to happinessedge.com. That's where you're going to get all the great information and access all previous shows. Before we go, once again, the priming question. If you're able to pause and write your answers after this, do so. If not, write some stuff down anyway. Let your mind work for you. Here it is. What could I do to create a better first impression? And what do others have to do to impress me? So make sure you write down the answers to that. Very important question. Now we are at the end of our show. I'm sorry to say, we're going to have to catch us next time. Obviously, I want to thank Richard Koch. I want to thank the maestro himself, Mr. James Love. I'm Alex George Sobanowski. And make sure whatever you do, you get out there and live with true power, total passion, and transformational purpose.